Our scripture reading today is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For those of you who are just now joining us online, please let us know that you are worshiping with us by commenting below or filling out that connect form that is in the comment section. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do next? Maybe you were fixing your car and realize, I don't know the next step. Or maybe you're like me yesterday sitting on my couch, recognizing you forgot an important ingredient to your child's favorite potato casserole that they want for their birthday party. And you wonder to yourself, how am I going to get that? My children are sleeping, right? I just didn't know what to do next. Graciously, Connie came over and watched the girls for about 10 minutes so I could run to the store. But sometimes you feel stuck, right? Or abandoned, and you just don't know what to do next. Maybe it's not something so trivial like fixing your car or a potato casserole. Maybe it's in the midst of a relationship, and you don't know where to go next. Maybe you've looked at your bank account and realized it has somehow gone from black to red after just a few swipes, and your next paycheck isn't coming for another week. Maybe you're wondering, how am I going to keep the lights on this week? Or how am I going to pay for my kids' new track shoes? There's important big stuff, and we often don't know how to fix it. As people, though, we like to be in control. Anyone else? Yes. We like to take care of things ourselves, and oftentimes our egos stand in the way, and we think, we got this, right? But oftentimes, even if the outcome is successful, even if everything works out, it leaves us tired and worn down, and even on the brink of burning out. Anyone else feel this way? We often think in our lives that we have to do the work to deserve the outcome. Even in the midst of relationships, we think, well, if something falls apart, we think, well, what did I do wrong? Or what can I do to deserve love? How can I make this work? This week I was on Instagram, just scrolling like I often do. Don't ask me how much screen time I spend on Instagram a week because it's way too much. My phone likes to remind me. Did you know that on your phone? It'll tell you how much screen time and what app you're using. But I was scrolling through Instagram, and one of my favorite authors, she's also a professor at Duke University, her Instagram post this week, she said, I used to think life was something I picked, until that was no longer true. The thing about Kate Bowler, I've talked about her before. In fact, last Lent, we did a series based on her book, Good Enough. She just released a new book called The Lives We Actually Have, and it's a blessing book, so different prayers for different circumstances. But Kate Bowler, I think in the midst of her 40s, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she quickly realized that there was nothing that she could have done to control that situation. There was nothing she could have done to have changed that outcome. And so often we think, well, we can pick our lives, but often the cards were dealt, or just the cards were dealt, right? Like many of us happen to be privileged enough to live in a wealthy country. We happen to have had parents who were able to afford maybe to help us with college or hand us a car, you know, when we were 16 or 18. But there are many people around the globe that were not fortunate enough to have that kind of background. And so often when we come to these difficult situations, we say to ourselves, well, what could I have done differently? How could I have controlled it? But what Chloe read for us this morning in the Psalms, Psalm 121 starts off, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from ourselves, our own egos, our own gifts or graces. In fact, our help comes from God. On this second Sunday in Lent, we encounter a guy named Nicodemus. Anybody heard of Nicodemus before? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. John likes to write about the Pharisees. Just a little bit of a side note. Oftentimes, John is used as a text to promote anti-Semitism because the Pharisees are kind of seen as the bad guys in the text. We got to have some little nuance, right, around that text. And just remember the time and place in which John was writing. But Nicodemus is an important character. He makes, in fact, more than one appearance in John's gospel, and he engages with Jesus multiple times. But in this occasion, he comes to Jesus in the darkness of night because he wants to have a one-on-one private conversation with him. And he's worried about what others might think if he goes to Jesus, not to scold him like the Pharisees often did, right? The questions they would ask would be to trick Jesus. He goes genuinely to ask questions so that he can gain greater understanding. And so we're going to read this morning about this encounter in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. The gospel writer says this. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he was a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs, no one that can do these signs apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, Well, how can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus said to him, Well, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Jesus is a little testy, isn't he? Jesus says, Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. So we have this encounter where Nicodemus comes in the darkness of night, and he has some pretty serious questions. He's curious about who this Jesus guy is. He's seen and witnessed some of the miracles. This is fairly early in John's gospel, right? We're only in John chapter 3. But Nicodemus is wondering, who is this guy and what's he all about? And he even asked this question kind of at the beginning of this encounter. He says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. Because no one can do the signs that you do. No one can do the wonderful miracles that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus, being Jesus, goes off on this long litany, right, of confusing statements, or so it seems. Jesus doesn't always answer questions in the clearest of ways. I don't know if you've noticed that in reading your text. But but Nicodemus is a guy who's, he's supposed to have the answers, right? He's supposed to know and understand the law because he's a Pharisee, right? He's a teacher of the law. He knows the rules, and yet he's confused. I relate to Nicodemus a lot because I'm supposed to have pretty intense theological training, right? I went to seminary for 5 years to study the Bible. And I can't tell you the number of times Kim has come into my office and asked me a question, and I'm like, you know, Kim, I don't know. I guess I could make something up, right, and pretend like I know. Maybe that's what a lot of pastors do. They just like to sound smarter than they really are. But even when we're trained, you know, we learned this when we did our series called The Bible for Grown-Ups, right? The Bible is a hard text to understand. It's not an instruction manual where you can go and you can, it's like asking Siri a question and she'll spout out different answers, right? You can't really do that with the Bible. In fact, the people living in Jesus' time couldn't even go to Jesus and get a direct answer like you can get from Alexa or Siri, right? Jesus gave these long, kind of convoluted answers. But Jesus ends his long litany of his answer with one of the most popular verses that we often quote in church, right? John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Now, when we look at this word world, Jesus is identifying the world as kind of the lower story. He says, you know, you must be born from above, right? So the world is this lower place. And for Jesus, or for John, at least, for Jesus in John's gospel, the lower world, or the lower story, the world, is a sphere of hate and darkness and falsehood and slavery and scarcity. The world for John is not just creation, right? He's not just talking about the beauty of the earth. He's also talking about this existence of pain and only having a partial knowledge of God. And friends, this is the exact place we live in today. Does anyone else experience hate or darkness or falsehood or scarcity? Does anyone else experience grief or loss? We often just pass it off and say, well, that's the way of the world. But in fact, that's true, right? That's where all of those things live and rest, is in the world. And part of that is because we only have this partial knowledge of who God is. But then there's this upper story, this upper sphere called heaven, right? Centered around God. It's a sphere of light and truth and freedom and abundance. But so often we look at heaven and earth, the world and this earthly sphere, as things that are separated, right? Something that we can only get to when we die, right? Only an experience we can have when we're on the other side. But Jesus welcomes a new possibility for us. Jesus reminds us that we can experience the love of God here and now, even in the midst of this world of pain and fear and hate and scarcity, with only a partial knowledge of God. That God can be here too. And Nicodemus doesn't understand it. He does not understand how Jesus is able to perform these wonderful miracles, how people are able to experience the presence of God, and so he goes to Jesus for help. He doesn't rely on his own knowledge, his own understanding. Instead, he goes to Jesus, even in the darkness of night, right? And Jesus answers these questions for him. I can relate to Nicodemus a lot because I like to have control and I need things to be explained easily. I like things to fit in a nice little box. But here's the thing about faith. Faith cannot be contained in a box. Faith cannot be wrapped in a nice little bow. That's why we have hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of denominations across the globe, right? Because none of us can seem to agree, even on the simplest of things, right? And yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ is an uncontained, unimaginable, unexplicable happening in our lives. Throughout this season of Lent, we're talking about where we look for love. And often we look for love in places that we can control and that we can understand. But the love of God is inexplicable. And the good news of the gospel comes in that final verse that we read this morning in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." God loved us so much that he sent his son to be with us, to walk among us, to die for us, and to rise again, to show us new possibility. The text Chloe read for us defines God as our helper or our keeper. This is the one who made the heavens and the earth. It says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber or sleep. He will guard you from all evil." God is our helper. So when we're looking for love, when we're looking for acceptance, when we're looking to feel some relief from our grief, look for the helper. Look for God to come into your life. Look for God to help shield you and guide you. Here in a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's an old, familiar, probably favorite hymn of many called "I Surrender All." Anyone else love this hymn? So the last church where I was appointed, there was this wonderful lady. Her name was Melva Wright. Her husband's name was Calvin. I gave him a lot of, you know, crap for his name being Calvin, because we're Wesleyans, right? Not Calvinists. But Melva was my treasurer. And she only wrote checks, right? She was not good at QuickBooks like Craig. And she came to me one Sunday after we sang "I Surrender All." She said, "You know, Pastor, I hate that song." And I said, "Well, why is that, Miss Melva?" She's like, "Because I feel like I'm lying every time I sing it." She's like, "I just can't surrender everything to God." And I thanked her for her comments, and I've reflected on that conversation many times over the years. And I've thought to myself, you know, she's right. It is hard for us to surrender everything to God, to give up control, to see God as our helper and our keeper. But friends, when we do, we experience the love of God in ways that we can never imagine. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for this time to be together. And I ask that as we continue to look for love, that we would look for love in you. That we would look for love not in the things that we can control or the things that we can do, but God, in what you can do for us. God, let us see you as our keeper and our helper this day. Let us continue to ask questions, to be curious, to not desire to have all of the answers, but God, to know that you are enough. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.